VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Going to do things just a little bit different today in that we're going to be holding a news roundup day today in that tomorrow on Good Friday we have a special we're going to be airing on Crosstalk. We hope you'll join VCY America Network and Crosstalk for the special called The Medical Aspects of the Crucifixion. And through the eyes of a medical doctor explaining the crucifixion and what one experiences going through crucifixion. And I trust you'll be able to join Crosstalk tomorrow afternoon at this time for the medical aspects of the crucifixion. So we're going to be having a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. And I would like to begin with a letter that we received, a card from the White House. If you remember just back several weeks ago, it was in February, matter of fact, that we had a program on Crosstalk called Dear Mr. President, in which we gave you opportunity to call in and just share briefly what it is that you wanted to convey to President Donald Trump. Well, that program, as we promised, was placed on a CD, sent off to the White House. And earlier this month, and I forgot to bring this out earlier for you, but a card came from the White House that just says, thank you for your kind words and the thoughtful gift. Melania and I deeply appreciate your support. We are so fortunate to live in a country where the freedom of religion and the word of God is both celebrated and respected. Your prayers mean so much to us, and we are grateful for your generous gift and support. With best wishes, Donald Trump. That card came to us here at Crosstalk, and you were part of that program of Dear Mr. President and wanted to share that with you. Well, there has been much news going on through the course of this week. Lori has given me a pile that is voluminous. We're going to get through as many stories as we can and trust that you'll be able to listen and, again, to be informed and to see the urgency of the hour that's before us. Friends, we cannot play church. We must be the church and do that which God has called us to be, salt and to be light, as we've mentioned here on previous broadcasts. But much going on. We want to be understanding of the times, and certainly the urgency of getting out the gospel to a world in need is absolutely critical. Well, earlier today, well, the Attorney General came out prior to releasing the Mueller report, and from WND.com, William Barr saying there was no collusion on the part of the 2016 Trump campaign with repeated Russian efforts to interfere in the presidential election. Mueller's report also noted that there was insufficient evidence that the president tried to obstruct any part of the investigation or report, although there was evidence of Trump's frustration with the relentless speculation in the news media based on the investigation by federal agents and prosecutors of his campaign. Trump had called the investigation a witch hunt, and Barr confirmed, as he said from the beginning, this was in fact no collusion. But in fact, the president's counselors cooperated fully at all times, asserted no executive privilege, and took no act that in fact deprived the special counsel of documents and witnesses. Barr said the report reveals Russians tried to recreate the discord through social media operations, a disinformation campaign, and charges were filed against those operatives. The special counsel found no evidence that any American, including anyone associated with the Trump campaign, cooperated, he said. Well, from CNSNews.com, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Judiciary Chair Gerald Nadler all criticized William Barr for scheduling his press conference this morning, accusing him of trying to put a pro-Trump spin on the special counsel's findings. Folks, they pushed and pushed and pushed for the special counsel report. He finds no collusion, and now they're still not satisfied with this. As a matter of fact, from CNSNews.com, the House Chair of the Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, sent out a tweet this morning after the Barr press conference in which released and tweeted out a letter he sent to Robert Mueller that requested Mueller testify before the committee no later than May 23rd, saying we cannot take Attorney General Barr's word for it. We must read the full Mueller report and the underlying evidence. This is about transparency and ensuring accountability. Folks, this thing is going to live on and on and on. By the way, Breitbart's reporting Now that the two-year Russian collusion hoax has been exposed, CNN and MSNBC are hemorrhaging a massive number of viewers compared to the same week last year. The far-left CNN has lost a jaw-dropping 47% of its primetime audience and 41% of its total day viewers. MSNBC did not fare at all that much better during primetime. The left-wing outlet lost 28% of its viewers. Throughout the total day, MSNBC was down 20%. And somehow the news got even worse. If in the advertiser coveted 24 to 54 age demographic, CNN lost an incredible 52% of total day viewers, an even more incredible 58% of primetime viewers. Well, also in the news this week, of course, is the burning at the cathedral. But something here stateside, a man, this is FoxNews.com, taken into custody in New York last night after entering St. Patrick's Cathedral carrying two canisters of gasoline, two bottles of lighter fluid, and two butane lighters, authorities said. A 37-year-old man stopped by a cathedral security officer. He told officers he was cutting through the cathedral to get to Madison Avenue and that his car had run out of gas. That's what he said to police, but when police checked the man's minivan, its gas tank was not empty. They also said that this same man had been arrested at a New Jersey cathedral this week, had booked a flight to Rome, the New York Police Department said. This is a 37-year-old facing charges including attempted arson, reckless endangerment after his arrest at this landmark, and we'll continue to see what happens there. By the way, Daily Mail out of the UK is reporting that ISIS fanatics are heartlessly reveling in the inferno at Notre Dame Cathedral just days before Easter, calling it retribution and punishment, according to terror intelligence researchers. A poster of the blazing cathedral appeared online, accompanied by the words, "Have a good day," and was created by the ISIS-affiliated Al-Muntasir's group, according to the Terrorism Research and Analysis Consortium. Also, WND.com reports that only hours after the first flames that eventually would consume Notre Dame's roof and spire flickered, the question about the cause began. Pamela Geller had posted a report under the headline, "Notre Dame Cathedral Inferno Intentionally Set," citing the Time columnist Christopher J. Hale, writing a Jesuit friend of his in Paris who works at Notre Dame, told the cathedral staff that the fire was intentionally set and deleted the tweet after a few minutes. Geller noted that France had been hit with a string of fires at Catholic churches, some of which occurred alongside desecration of different objects and acts of vandalism. But a number of inconsistencies that have been issued pertaining to this, even the precautions that there were, they indicated, Pamela Geller has in her column, and I've seen in other places as well, that everything was done to avoid any source of heat near the wood of the roof. No electrical plugs, no welding were allowed. The hotspot hypothesis is therefore not the right one, says the report. Restoration work hadn't started on the roof yet. Scaffolding was still being put in place. The head of the company that was building the scaffolding, interviewed by a French TV, he said, "All I can say for the time being is that at the moment of the fire, absolutely none of the employees of my company were present on site," and adding that all safety procedures had been respected. So there is more to come out in all that's transpired there, but we do know that ISIS fanatics, jihadists, were reveling and even sending out "Wait for the next." But the cause yet officially be determined. I just share that with you from Pamela Geller through her sources coming out of France. Also out of from Jihad Watch, in Arizona, Muslim murders his wife and two daughters, says Allah told him to do it. In California, from Creeping Sharia, a Muslim doctor who tweeted she'd purposely give all Jews wrong meds is fired by a second hospital. We're talking of Dr. Laura Kolob, fired from her residency at the Cleveland Clinic after old anti-Semitic tweets surfaced, was expelled from a second residency program in California. In California, Mohammed Abdi Mohammed, 33 years old, searched online for information about a November 17 terrorist attack that left 8 people dead in Lower Manhattan less than a day before he barreled his car toward 2 Jewish men outside congregation Bais Yehuda late last year, according to the L.A. Police Department. That refugee researched this incident taking place prior to committing his act. In Illinois, April 7th report from Creeping Sharia, Muslims unveiled plans for a new multi-million-dollar mosque near a golf club in Chicago. And interesting, there would be set on 10 acres at the corner of Lewis and 27th Street, just a mile away from the Thunderhawk Golf Club in Beach Park, pending approval by the Muslim Community's National Mosque Committee. In Maryland, Muslim who harbored hatred for disbelievers planned to drive a U-Haul truck into crowds at the National Harbor. Federal prosecutors say a man inspired by the Islamic State group stole a U-Haul truck with plans to drive it into a crowd at the National Harbor, the popular dining and entertainment hangout just outside of Washington, D.C. For 2 years, the defendant had harbored hatred, in his words, for disbelievers who do not practice the Muslim faith. Let's go to Michigan. Muslim terrorists considered targeting Baker College and a gay club before slashing cops' throat at the airport. This is came out on April 16th, Creeping Sharia, before slashing the throat of an officer at a Michigan airport. Amur Fatouri used the public Wi-Fi at a McDonald's to search Google Maps for gay club, guy club, and also aeroport. In New York, Robert Spencer reports in Jihad Watch that a Muslim cleric says non-Muslims are not your friends and not allowed to be treated as friends, maintaining Mohammed Ibn Munir. Muslims should hate non-Muslims, can only maintain relations with them to call them to Islam. And also, very interesting, out of New York, we reported earlier about the Muslim patrol cars. And this from Pamela Geller, saying that she reported about these Brooklyn Muslim community patrols. Investigative journalist Benjamin Baird researched the patrol and discovered that the so-called Neighborhood Watch is on steroids, closely tied to an Islamic charity under investigation for terrorism. They planned the patrols to spread their violent strain of Islam. It also found strong evidence of anti-Semitism from MCP's senior leaders. South Carolina, Creeping Sharia is reporting that the police in Anderson, South Carolina, say someone broke windows into the historic church. This would be the Midway Presbyterian Church building, and spray painted "Submit to God through Islam" and "Muhammad is his prophet." That came from Creeping Sharia. Texas, a Muslim teen pleads guilty to plotting a mass shooting at jihad at the Frisco Mall, and pleaded guilty. This stems back to the attack, the planned attack, to coincide with Ramadan this past year. And also from FoxNews.com, a pro-ISIS Telegram channel has posted a step-by-step guide in how to procure weapons anonymously on the dark web and use them in revenge attacks against the West. The message, which was written in English, directed at militant Muslims, starts off with a Q&A display on how radicals who want to avenge the death of the Islamic State member can do so by buying untraceable weapons. And by the way, in Germany, non-Muslim parents were fined. Why? For not sending their school on a day in which they were taking a field trip to an area mosque. Well, folks, I've got more stories, more issues after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has anyone found water on Mars?
Chris, it's common for evolutionists to claim that Mars used to be covered with water. And they have found some indirect evidences for water, but the polar ice caps, which are the most likely source of the water, they're composed of carbon dioxide. They've also found some geographical features that look like lakes or riverbeds or floodplains. Chris, even if they do find evidence for water on Mars, that's no problem. They're hoping that if they find water, they'll find life. And that'll prove that life is nothing special, that it happens by natural processes. But that's not true. Life is unimaginably complex. It needs a creator. And when we read about him and his creation back in Genesis, he doesn't mention Mars.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
We're having a news roundup day here on this Thursday edition of Crosstalk. Again, a Good Friday special airing tomorrow, and trust you'll be able to join us for that. Picking up on some other issues here on our news roundup day today, there's a lot of stories pertaining to the issue of life versus the killing of unborn babies, known as abortion. From LifeNews.com, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has this long history of supporting unlimited abortion, and he did so again Monday of this week at a Fox News town hall where he said he supports abortions up to birth, and it's okay to kill babies up to birth because it is rare. Let's just listen into a clip from Bernie Sanders at that Fox News town hall meeting.
With regard to abortion, do you believe that a woman should be able to terminate a pregnancy up until the moment of birth?
Look, I think that that happens very, very rarely, and I think this is being made into a political issue. Okay? So I think it's rare, it's being made into a political issue, but at the end of the day, I believe that the decision over abortion belongs to a woman and a physician, not the federal government, not the state government, and not the local government.
Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. LifeNews.com also reports that Democratic presidential candidate Cory Booker defended his vote for infanticide, saying that a bill for medical care for babies who are born alive after failed abortions is just meant to divide people.
And so there's this recent bill about that caused a lot of controversy, where I had people, you know, from church communities that I frequent say to me, did you vote against this thing that allows us to kill babies when they're born? And I'm like, that is a felony. That is a crime. That cannot happen under any law. This was something that was put forward to try to further create schisms and differences between us. You cannot kill a child after birth in this country. That is against the law. And for women that are really in that difficult position, so-called late-term abortions, some people try to make that think that that's something that commonly happens. That happens when a woman's life is being threatened and the viability of the fetus as well is compromised.
Well, as LifeNews.com points out, a total of 19 states do not require any protection for babies born alive after a botched abortion. Booker also, they say, is wrong when he says late-term abortions are done to save a mother's life or a non-viable baby's. Guttmacher Institute cited a study from 2013 that found most women seeking later terminations are not doing so for reasons of fetal anomaly or of life endangerment. A troubling story as well that came out this week from LifeNews.com. It starts out saying this. It has happened here. Her words hung in the air of a crowded North Carolina assembly. I've been a witness, said State Representative Pat McElrath, told the quiet crush of people lining the upper gallery. She described the horrible moment that she saw a tiny bodies stored at a doctor's office. Nurses told the stories of those babies who were born alive, she remembers. They were taken by the doctor. This is attempted abortion. She pauses and turned. They were taken by the doctor and turned face down in the saline solution. Then looking around the chamber, she says quietly, infanticide has happened here. Whether it keeps happening or not is now up to one man, Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, because they're facing an issue in their state to have a born alive, protect infants who are born alive after abortion. But interesting situation unfolding there. Also, let's go to Ohio. Planned Parenthood is getting ready to sue Ohio. This is LifeNews.com, so it can continue to abort unborn babies after their heartbeats are detectable. For months, the ACLU has said it will challenge the heartbeat legislation if it passes the Ohio legislature. It did, and Governor Mike DeWine did sign that into law just a little over a week ago, or about a week ago. From the FaithWire. Also, it's very interesting is that heartbeat bill passed through the state of Ohio that a Ohio Democrat drafted an amendment to exempt African-American babies from this pro-life law. This is Democratic Representative Janine Boyd, state representative from Ohio, drafted an amendment to exempt unborn African-American babies from the state's recently implemented pro-life legislation. The law, dubbed the Heartbeat Bill, bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, usually occurs around 6 weeks into pregnancy. Boyd, though, sees the bill as problematic for the African-American community and compared the protection of unborn infants to the slave trade. LifeNews.com. In Florida, Florida housemakers passed legislation Wednesday to require pregnant minors to obtain a parent's consent before they have abortion. Tampa Bay Times reports about 1,500 minors have abortions in Florida annually. Life News also reports in Alabama, lawmakers there are considering a bill this week that would ban all abortions in the state by making the killing of a baby, an unborn baby, a felony. In Texas, we have the story coming from the New York Post. Texas lawmakers have been debating a bill in the state legislature that would classify abortion as a homicide and make it punishable by death. A vote on the measure, however, is yet to be determined. Texas Right to Life also reports that there is an abortionist that travels to Texas and committed 50 abortions in 60 hours. Coming from California, saying that there's just so many abortionists there that they're going out to other locations, and this one traveling to Texas, committing 50 abortions in 60 hours. Also in Texas from Life News, lawmakers there gave their initial approval to a bill Tuesday to protect newborns who survive abortions from infanticide. The bill passed 93-1. 50 additional legislators did not vote at the request of the pro-abortion State Representative Donna Howard, giving comments that mirrored those of the abortion giant Planned Parenthood. Illinois, Vermont, and Rhode Island are pushing bills to legalize abortions up to birth, up to the time of birth. New York so far is the only state to pass legislation allowing abortion up to the time of birth, but bills to do the same are moving forward in these three states. Life News also tells us that there's this new abortion billboard saying, welcome to Illinois, where you can get a safe, legal abortion. The billboard by Hope Clinic for Women says, located right on I-55 and 64 near the state border, according to the Riverfront Times. Its website also tells women how they can get a taxpayer-funded abortion in Illinois, trying to woo women from Missouri, where it's not the case there, to come into Illinois, where you can kill your baby. Also in Illinois, U.S. Congressman Dan Lipinski is one of the last pro-life Democrats in the House, reports LifeNews.com. But in 2020, he'll face another primary, tough primary challenge by an abortion activist who has the support of wealthy pro-abortion groups. Democrat Marie Newman announced her plans to challenge Lipinski on Tuesday. She previously ran against him but lost. Newman slammed Lipinski's voting record, claiming Illinois voters deserve a real Democrat. LifeSiteNews.com tells us a well-loved pro-life sidewalk counselor, Louisville, Kentucky, attacked by a woman exiting an abortion mill, leaving her with a broken thigh bone and a bleeding head wound. Donna Durning, a sidewalk counselor for over 20 years, was outside the EMW Women's Surgical Center in the afternoon of April 13th when a younger woman who had been inside the abortion mill violently pushed her, causing her to fall to the pavement. Sustained a head wound, a fractured femur. Her skull did not break, fortunately. Didn't suffer any brain injuries. Police were in a car across the street, immediately entered this facility, confiscated surveillance tapes. Witnesses at the scene recorded the license plate of the car, which the assailant and her friend drove away. By the way, this EMW Women's Surgical Center is reportedly the last freestanding abortion mill in the state of Kentucky. Here we have a city, Tuscaloosa, that tried to privatize a public sidewalk, trying to force pro-lifers to have special permits to engage in prayer and advocacy on the sidewalk. However, the Thomas More Law Center got involved with that and put an end there. This is a troubling story out of LifeSiteNews.com. You remember Virginia Governor Northam, who talked about a baby surviving abortion, that this should be left up to the doctor and the mother what to do with this baby. And now he has signed into law legislation that toughens their protection of animals against potential abusers, inviting a new wave of critique now for him. Truly troubling indeed. This is Tommy's Law. It's after a pit bull that died after being set on fire earlier this year. Well, that's a wrong thing to do. But provides that anyone who tortures, willfully inflicts inhumane injury or pain or cruelty, and unnecessarily beats, maims, or mutilates any dog or cat is committed to felony punishable by up to 5 years in jail and a fine up to $2,500. He signed that into law, but he allows for that to take place on unborn babies or babies surviving an abortion attempt. LifeSite News also reports five women sent to the hospital in less than 2 months at a flagship New York Planned Parenthood. Medical emergencies abound. And Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel reports that the California Senate Health Committee recently voted 7-2 to force taxpayer-funded universities to continually appropriate funds necessary to provide free chemical abortions to students on campus by the year 2023. As you know, President Donald Trump cut funds to Planned Parenthood, and now the Planned Parenthood head, Leanna Wen, has filed a lawsuit this past Friday against this Trump administration rule. City officials argue that the rule would threaten health care for 16,000 patients in Baltimore by cutting Title X funding to city critics by about $1.4 million. When will they understand that abortion is not health care? Hats off to Michigan County. This is, let's see, what county is this? This is Muskegon County, where commissioners voted 6-2 in favor of a plan that evicts Planned Parenthood from a county-owned building there. They said, we need to expand it for our own medical needs there. Also interesting from LifeNews.com, U.S. Senator Steve Daines Tuesday reintroduced the Child Tax Credit for Pregnant Moms Act, allowing pregnant moms to claim the child tax credit for their unborn children if passed into law. This bill builds on the child tax credit provisions, including the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, by supporting families and pregnant moms with the many costs that come with carrying a baby, as well as planning for the care of their newborn child. Very troubling statistics coming out of England and Wales. LifeSiteNews.com tells us that official data highlighted by media platforms this week has shown a tragic rise in abortion rates amongst young women in England and Wales. Figures published by the Office for the National Statistics, the ONS, after data updates this month, revealed that in 2017, 33.2% of unborn babies conceived by women aged 20 to 24 killed by abortion. That's troubling. This story is also troubling from LifeNews.com. A group of Tennessee faith leaders and activists publicly declared their support for abortion on demand in a letter urging pro-life Governor Bill Lee to oppose heartbeat legislation. Fox 17 in Nashville reports this month more than 150 religious leaders signed the letter calling for abortions to be kept legal and easily acceptable in Tennessee. They argued that the lawmakers should trust women to decide whether to abort their unborn babies. While there are varied opinions on abortions based on religious beliefs as persons with deep faith commitments, we affirm a person's right to decide when to become a parent or expand their family. As people of faith and as Tennesseans, we believe in loving our neighbors and treating one another as we would like to be treated, with compassion, dignity, and respect. When will they know? When will they realize? When will they understand, ladies and gentlemen, that loving your neighbors is not killing them in the womb? No, it's protecting that life with dignity and respect. These are wolves in sheep's clothing, folks, and shame on them for this. This is a number of clergy members coming together to support abortion. I've got an interesting letter to share with you after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists, who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. I've shared just a litany of stories coming out on the life issue, and there are so many more even than what I've shared, but I'd like to share with you a letter that we received some weeks ago from one of our listeners here to Crosstalk, and I'm going to keep the name anonymous, but I'd like to share this letter that is written entitled, Dear Listeners. And she writes this, after the past couple of months of hearing about the chilling number of abortions, God placed on my heart to share my testimony. May it shine some hope for the saints and perhaps the sinners who have no hope at all. It was the spring of 2014 as I stared into the mirror, tears welling as I tried to recognize the stranger staring back at me. Searching deeper to catch a glimpse of who I used to be, I took a deep breath before discovering the positive pregnancy test to affirm the unwed life growing inside of me. As I exhaled, I replayed the last 5 years of my life going astray. Truth is, I avoided mirrors because of my shame. I turned into someone I didn't know, a person I never wanted to be. This baby was a consequence of my reckless behavior, bad decisions followed by bad decision in a world that accepted my wrongdoing above what is right. Yet my heart never lied as it conducted every wrong decision I ever made. Although my lifestyle wasn't the only accepted, wasn't only accepted but encouraged by the ways of the world, my lifestyle was unacceptable to God, and my breaking heart was proof. In that bathroom, I made my final decision. I chose to step out in faith. Immediately following that decision, my closest friends suggested abortion. God had prepared me with strength and wisdom to know the demonic spirit I was about to face. Looking at my friend as she justified her suggestion by admitting that she had an abortion, said it would be okay. Feeling the tension and identifying the evilness living inside of my friend, I shook my head. I told her that abortion wasn't an option, that this was a blessing. Yes, I made bad decision, but I wasn't about to punish this innocent baby for my irresponsible lifestyle. This was a time for me to break the chain of bad habits and face the responsibility of my actions. My friend still remained willing to assist me in abortion, as her last words of our friendship were reminders that I could abort up to 5 months. The devil hunted me, striking me with fear, then repeatedly suggested abortion inside my wearied head, but I fought back, standing firm on my decision. Then one night as I tossed and turned, battling the fear circling my mind, what will people think of me? Better question, what will my grandmother and family think of me? But I thought, I know this is what is right. I never felt more alone. Then on that same second, I felt the devil flee away as a calm, peaceable presence came over me. The stillness overtook any fear inside of me as it affirmed that I was pregnant and I was going to have a boy. That was when the name Bentley came to mind. The joy steadily arose until it was robbed by fear just as quickly as before. I was comforted. You both will be all right, it promised me before leaving my side. For the next 9 months, I leaned on the Lord's promise that we would be all right. Well, I confessed and repented of my sins. Forgiveness, however, was to come. Sure enough, I had no support. I faced betrayal, rumors of gossip, backbiting, distrust, rejection, disgust, and so much more. However, it was during this time that I held on to the promise from the one who sticks closer to than a brother. This was when Jesus became my best friend. I found myself in constant prayer, just like when I was a little girl. Even though the world seemed to turn its back on me, the Lord was for me, and He was and is more than enough. Nearly everyone disapproved of my unwed pregnancy. My own mother and grandmother didn't attend the baby shower, let alone call. Yet I held on to His promise, and it brought hope in times when things couldn't seem more hopeless. The more I showed, the more I prayed. You see, I may have not planned on my son, but that doesn't mean he wasn't planned at all. God planned on him. God formed him inside my womb and gave him a name. And although the world denied to accept his gift, God chose me to be his mother. God placed Bentley into my life to draw me closer to him and his plan for my life. When I found myself unworthy, naked before the world, I looked and found not a single soul standing beside me. A few months after the birth, I surrendered to the Lord, exposing all the brokenness inside of me, giving him all of me. I laid down my life, and he never gave up on me, never condemned or forsook me. Instead, he lent me a helping hand as I pleaded for his assistance in raising a godly man. That was a winter 2015, the night I made Jesus my Lord and Savior. To think it's all began with the blessing of my son. If it wasn't for him, I would still be strayed from God, lost being a slave to him. Instead, Jesus is my friend, and I'm a child of God. It breaks my heart to hear of so many boys and girls that were robbed of the ability to possibly change the hearts of their parents. Please give them a chance. More importantly, give God the opportunity to show his love for you through them. I look at my four-year-old now and couldn't imagine life without him. The Lord has blessed and loved me in so many ways by using him. It is worth it, and Jesus won't ever leave you. Regardless who is for or against you, he will be your strength, your comfort, your refuge. This precious life growing inside of you could be the blessing that restores you, turning you to the Lord, the only one who can save you. I pray more, find courage, and take the leap of faith in the one true God that never fails. The Lord be with you now. And this individual closes off with a verse from number 6 and starting at verse 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Signed by one of our listeners here to the Crosstalk radio program. Wanted to share that with you in light of all that's taking place in this matter of abortion today. And friends, be praying for those who are struggling just like this individual had. And how we praise God that she chose life. I've got more stories to share here today, but let's open the phone lines. If you'd like to join us on air today, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Incidentally, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed into law a bill targeting elderly and disabled people that legalized assisted suicide statewide. Interesting story from the Health Impact News taking place in New York. Day after New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio declared a state of emergency over measles outbreaks in Jewish communities of Brooklyn, ordered forced vaccinations of everyone not yet vaccinated with the MMR vaccine. The Washington Post is reporting that the health department has sent disease detectives into the community to force compliance. The city sent 15 to 20 disease detectives into the community with some Yiddish interpreters a day after the mayor's vow to squash the outbreak with $1,000 fines and misdemeanor charges for anyone in certain areas who refused to be immunized. Attorney Michael Sussman, who successfully represented parents in Rockland County, New York, last week and convinced the state's Supreme Court to overturn the county's ban on unvaccinated children, one of the attorneys planning to file a lawsuit in New York City. Very interesting matter there. Let's go to the phone lines, which are full here today. Let's begin with John calling from Milwaukee. John, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I would like to point out something that abortion is between a man and a woman. Both take part, and that's because, well, the woman has the baby, but can you name an abortionist who is not a male?
Oh, there are female abortionists, yes. I don't keep the list of names, but there,
I know, but there are many men. And that's what I'm saying. They're not scot-free.
No, they're not scot-free. Certainly, their actions are that which is taking innocent human life. It is just plain wrong. Thank you, John. Steve in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Jim, I'm so glad you read that letter, and I'm glad that individual had the courage and the strength to go ahead and go through with the life.
Yeah.
And in the letter, it mentioned, you know, what would people think of her? Well, you know, Jim, in my own life, as I get older and I see my sins, as I see my sins more and more, you know, it's not what people think of you. It's how God views you. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know this individual's life or name, I'm sorry, but I'm going to pray for her tonight, Jim.
Yeah. Please do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And we've got Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is this. I don't think after 2 years and 400 pages of the Mueller investigation is really going to put to rest the leftist anti-Trump presidency. Unless William Barr actually does the real investigation that involves Comey, Lynch, Hillary, Obama, etc., which the Jeff Sessions recusal debacle had a lot to do with this whole spiel in the first place. Your Adam Schiffs and your Pelosi's and your Chuck Schumer's are going to, they're just going to run with this thing, especially being in cahoots with the CNN and Chuck Todd's and your Judy Woodruff's and, you know, that whole clan.
Yeah, it's just in today's state of affairs, I frankly, Mark, I don't see any giving up on this issue. It will be an issue for the next 2 years leading up to the presidential campaign. And if there is success in winning another term, I don't think it's going to stop there either.
I totally agree, and I totally expect them to be relentless. I don't care if they have any substance or not. They're just going to push that narrative for as long as they can.
Mark, thanks for the call today.
Thank you.
Leanne is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes, I had two comments I wanted to make, and they had to do with the topic yesterday, but one was the no one says anything about the Democratic Party as they want to crush Christianity. Otherwise, all of this LGBTQI stuff would be going against Islam equally, and it certainly isn't. And as you've mentioned, Islam throws homosexuals off roofs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love if someone would say, you know, you're trying to crush Christianity, otherwise you would be going against Islam. The other thing I wanted to say about that subject very quickly is this person running for president, wanting to run for president, who has the male wife or husband, I don't know what you call them now, said he was a Christian. And I don't understand, if they're Christian, then, and homosexual activities is not just about the sexual deviance leading the way, why don't they have abstinence? Why don't they not have sex if they're so in love with someone and do it the Christian way, which is to abstain from sex? But it's always led by the sexual act first and then the relationship. And no homosexual has ever been able to answer me on that.
Thank you for the call here today. Appreciate it and your involvement here on the broadcast today. Our number 800-733-9829, Lubbock, Texas. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi there. My name's Mark. I just want to say that I love being pro-life, and I think that because we're pro-life, we're for all life, and that includes the unborn life and the living life, which is why we should let all immigrants into our country, and we should stop war at all costs. We should get out of the Middle East. We should respect all life.
Well, yeah, there's a matter of respecting life, Mark, and there is also that which is lawful. And there is not a connection between those two aspects. I mean, here's another story I didn't get to, but let's mention it right now. Here we have an illegal alien set free by catch and release, just killed a woman in a head-on collision. This just happened in Alabama, but because this person comes into the country, claims asylum, but came in as a lawbreaker, and certainly we need to abide by the law. There's not a connection here between those who are wanting to come. There are those who generally have asylum claims, but the majority of cases coming into this country are those who seek to make use of our social services in the nation, or are seeking to subvert our own system here in our laws in order to free themselves into a life that they believe is going to be better for them. And Mark, we need to follow the rule of law. If we throw out the constitutional rule of law, we've got some big problems. I'm up against a break. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We've been doing a series on our broadcast network on brainwashing and how Americans have been brainwashed. The CIA declassified a report on brainwashing from 1956, in which they state, quote, "The process of brainwashing is essentially one in which two paths are being followed. One is the demoralizing process, the result of which is to reduce the victim's critical faculties to the point where he no longer discriminates clearly between true and false, logical and illogical. The other is the reorganizing process in which he's required to construct his confession, elaborate it, defend it, and believe it," end quote. Well, my friends, young people today are being, well, in some cases, asked to defend the Holocaust, thereby using problem-solving skills to be demoralized, to make a statement, a thesis, construct it, confess it, and defend it, just like they've done to prisoners of war.
Yeah, I just want to follow up with one further comment here to Mark, who called in from Lubbock here. And keep in mind, it's God who established borders. Look at that, Acts 17:26. "He has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Certainly, that whole aspect of borders we see throughout Scripture as well. And that's certainly another topic and another day, and we've covered that quite thoroughly here on Crosstalk. But very troubling indeed. One does not deny being pro-life. You cannot say one is not pro-life if they believe in protecting the borders of our land. Blanche is calling from Bainbridge, Ohio. Blanche, you're on the air.
Yes. My belief and my comment today, God put Trump in there, and God will keep him in there as long as he wants him in there. And what's going on now is a fight between Satan and God. Satan's up there, and he's trying to destroy our country. Also, the illegal aliens, they come over here, and they want to turn America into the country that they just left. That's what they're doing. They want us to be just like they were. And that is so wrong. But God put him there, and God will keep him there, because the Bible says God sets up kingdoms, and he brings down kingdoms.
Thank you, Blanche.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, bye-bye now.
Bye.
WND.com story also came out this week, very shocking statistics. It's a report fulfilling a Trump executive order to reveal more information about the illegal immigration. The Justice Department disclosed this past Wednesday that at least 13% of the federal prison population and nearly 30% of those in custody of the U.S. Marshals Service are illegal aliens. Think about that. At least 13% of our federal prison population and nearly 30% of those in custody of the U.S. Marshals Service are illegal aliens. Harold is calling in from Madison, Wisconsin. Harold, you're on the air.
Hi, bless you and thank you for your program. A couple of points here. I was involved in an abortion situation from a male point of view decades ago before I was a Christian, and there are many times the male party does not have knowledge and or any way to intervene. It's all taken away from him. He's powerless, and men also have to live with that. The second point is you mentioned part of a bill that they want campuses to have chemical abortions available on campus to women by I don't know what you said the year was.
In California. Mm-hmm.
Oh, California. I'm sure that will come someplace and spread. But has anybody any knowledge of if they've done any studies with a chemical abortion, which I assume is some sort of pill, how many, one or more of those, can a woman go through before she is permanently damaged or cannot have children or, you know, other consequences?
Yeah.
I mean, that's scary stuff. It's chemicals in your system.
No, it is scary, and certainly there have been side effects of sterilizations. You know, a group like lifeissues.org probably have the answer to that question. I don't have it off the top of my head, but But it is indeed troubling. But there's a greater interest in killing unborn babies in the womb than even caring for women and the consequences of what they go through emotionally and physically. I mean, here we just reported, you know, another clinic was at four or five emergencies here in just recent months. And some of these have been very devastating. Women themselves dying as a result of abortion.
Well, is that surprising? If you don't care about the child and even admit that it's a child, why would you care about the woman? It's part of Satan's plan.
Thank you for your thoughts here, Harold. We have Jeremy calling from Kentucky. You're on the air, Jeremy.
Yes, ladies, one simple comment. God will not put anybody in office until he's ready to come and take us back home.
I'm sorry, God will not do what?
He will not allow anybody in the office. He will not put anybody in the office of the presidential office until he knows it's time for him to come back and get us.
Okay, I'm not quite following you there because we have elections that happen every so often. You're saying that the Lord has to come back before somebody else goes into office?
No, sir. No, I'm talking about the whole gay gentleman
who's
going to run for president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that God will allow that to happen until he is actually ready for us to go back home.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts on that, Jeremy. I do know this, that we have seen a number of individuals who have come into positions of leadership that espouse the lifestyles. We shared yesterday a first open lesbian mayor for the city of Chicago, first open lesbian mayor in the city of Madison, Wisconsin. We're seeing the congressmen and women, senators in that same situation as well. But certainly a time for our nation to repent and to turn to Jesus Christ. Even as that letter that we read, a person who found that true freedom and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ, repenting of sin, turning to the Savior. Charles is calling from Nakusa, Wisconsin. Charles, you're on the air.
Hi. Say, I wanted to tell you about a few years ago, I traveled with the missionaries to the preborn during the summer for a few summers and then went to some of their stuff. One of the greatest things that ever happened was a couple of ladies walked up in different towns, one at a time. They walked up and they had a little bundle in their arms, and they come to a group where I was at, and they come up and said, "I want to thank you folks for being here last year." And they would open up that little blanket and show us. And it just happened to be two little girls, you know, each one of them had a girl. And now, babies are all beautiful. And I'll tell you what, these two children that was in these blankets from these ladies that were so grateful, they were above being beautiful, they were angelic. And God don't give you too much success so you get your all puffed up. But there was two turnaways with from the group that was headed for the abortion clinic. And the one girl, after talking to us for several minutes, she says, "Oh, well, I'm not going to go in." She says, "But I got to get going. I got to help my parents. Hey, I'll tell you what, after I've seen a lot of stuff."
Yeah,
but these were successes, and
we praise the Lord for that. And I'm out of time here, Charles. My closing theme music is already playing, but thank you for your call here today. Friends, I'm reminded of what the Lord said and recorded in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Let's be a voice for life. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.